so half-hearted punishment would be dealt out. Whenever there was an execution, and especially when there was a whipping, you always found the grannies in the front row sucking on peppermints. Polly had forgotten her dimity scarf. She did wear it at home on Fridays, for no other reason than that it was easier than not doing so. She vowed that if she ever got back, she'd never do it again.
Was, she said.
Yes, Polly.
You've got a direct line to the Duchess, have you?
We talk about things, said Wazza dreamily.
You, couldn't raise the subject of coffee, could you? Said Polly wretchedly.
The Duchess can only move very, very small things, said Wazza. A few beans, perhaps. Waz, we really need some coffee. I don't think the acorns are that much of a substitute.
I will pray, said Wazza.
Good, you do that, said Polly.
And strangely enough, she felt a little more hopeful. Maledict had hallucinations, but Wazza had a certainty you could bend steel around. It was the opposite of a hallucination somehow. It was as if she could see what was real and you couldn't.
Polly, said Wazza.
Yes.
You don't believe in the Duchess, do you? I mean, the real Duchess, not your inn.
Polly looked into the small, pinched, intense face.
Well, I mean, they say she's dead, and I prayed to her when I was small, but since you ask, I don't exactly, believe, as she gabbled. She is standing just behind you, just behind your right shoulder.
In the silence of the woods, Polly turned.
I can't see her, she said. I am happy for you, said Wazza, handing her the empty mug.
But I didn't see anything, said Polly.
No, said Wazza, but you turned round.
Polly had never asked too many questions about the girls' working school. She was, by definition, a good girl. Her father was an influential man in the community, and she worked hard. She didn't have much to do with men, and, most important, she was, well, smart. She was bright enough to do what a lot of other people did in the chronic, reason-free insanity that was everyday life in Munns. She knew what to see and what to ignore, when to obey and when to merely present the face of obedience, when to speak and when to keep her thoughts to herself. She learned the ways of the survivor. Most people did. But if you rebelled, or were merely dangerously honest, or had the wrong kind of illness, or were not wanted, or were a girl who liked the boys more than the old women thought you should, and worse, were not good at counting, then the school was your destination. She didn't know much about what went on in there, but imagination rushed to fill the gap. And she wondered what happened to you in that hellish pressure cooker. If you were tough like Tonka, it boiled you hard and gave you a shell. Lofty, it was hard to know. She was quiet and shy until you saw firelight reflected in her eyes, and sometimes the flames were there in the absence of any fire to reflect. But if you were Wazza, dealt a poor hand to start with, and locked up, and starved, and beaten, and mistreated Nuggan knew how, and yes, Polly thought, Nuggan probably did know how, and pushed deeper and deeper into yourself, what would you find down there? And then you'd look up from those depths into the only smile you ever saw. The last man on guard duty was Jackram, because Shufti was busy cooking. He was sitting on a mossy rock, crossbow in one hand, staring at something in his hand. He spun around as she approached, and Polly caught the gleam of gold as something was shoved back in his jacket. The sergeant lowered the bow.
"You make enough noise for an elephant, Perks," he said.
"Sorry, Sarge," said Polly, who knew she hadn't. He took the tea mug and turned to point downhill.
"See that bush down there, Perks," he said. "Just to the right of that fallen log."
Polly squinted.
"Yes, Sarge," she said.
"Notice anything about it?"
Polly stared again. There must be something wrong about it, she decided, otherwise he wouldn't have asked her. She concentrated.
"The shadow's wrong," she decided at last.
"Good lad. The reason being, our chum is behind the bush. He's been a-watching of me, and I've been a-watching of him. Nothing else for it.